Welcome, or maybe even welcome back, to Church Media HQ. My name is Luke Clayton, your host, and joining me today here in just a moment is my co-host, Jeremy Lenentine. We've been talking for the past few weeks about this idea of planning ahead at your church as we head into the new year, and I'm excited as we conclude that conversation today. After everything is sent to print, obviously print, I will say, I'm all into digital, just a side note here, but I don't think print is dead completely. I'm not one of those people who says, oh, abandon print altogether. I think there's a time and a place for print marketing, and that it has its certain effects. For example, I will stand by this, even after we've gone through a pandemic, I will stand by this. I don't think we're ever going to see the true death of a business card when it comes to business and networking. You're always going to, when we do get back to where we're having these in-person, you know, like I said, maybe a networking event, maybe if you're, you know, I said, talking about the business world now, you're always going to give a card. You're going to leave, you know, when you leave a meeting, you're going to leave someone with a business card. And I look at that the same way with a church. A lot of churches, you're always going to leave. Maybe you're a church leader who has a business card or an invite card to your church. You're always going to leave that behind. So I always think there's a place for that. And then there's always a place for signage. Signage is something, again, it's never going to really go away. I know there are digital signage options, but, you know, having banners, you know, or whatever, or parking lot signage, directional signage, that's always going to stay. So I just wanted to make that quick plug there. I do think that there is a place for print still. But once we've got everything sent to print, and once we're past that stage, the next thing really is where you start to finalize your digital campaign. And so this includes stuff like, you know, this is where you get your screen graphics finalized. I always remind people of this. Prioritize your print over your digital, because print just naturally requires more turnaround, whereas digital, even things like screen graphics, social images, web pages, short videos, certain types of videos, those are all representation of digital assets. And because there is no waiting for a printer, you know, you can in theory make something, you know, and I've actually done this. You make a graphic, and within you know, just minutes, you are displaying it on your screen. I don't recommend doing that, but it is possible. And so that's the idea of that's why you prioritize print over digital in terms of timeline. But now once you get to this point, we talk about the actual digital. So I always recommend scheduling things like social media posts or emails or content that you're going to update to your website. There's a lot of tools. I always recommend Buffer. Jeremy, I think you and I have talked about Buffer in the past, or it's a simple, you know, a social media scheduler. You know, there's a lot of them out there, Hootsuite, a couple of different guys, but Buffer's the one that I like. What I like about Buffer is you can schedule to Twitter, you can schedule to Facebook, and you can even schedule images to post to Instagram, which there's not many out there. There's more and more that are doing it, but this is one of the few that will do that for you. And then so that's Buffer. And then there's when it comes to email, you can schedule out emails to maybe your church email list using a tool like MailerLite is one I recommend, or MailChimp. You know, that just allow you to schedule this content. I will tell you this: if you try to just remember to post everything kind of on the fly, then guess what? You're probably not posting anything. as much as you can, schedule ahead. And I know, Jeremy, you've worked with tools like this to schedule your digital content, and I think you guys have done pretty well with that in the past.
Yeah, we have. And basically my flaw has been focusing pretty much just on Facebook. And I know that we need to, in the next year, jump more into the Instagram market as, you know, younger people switch more and pay attention more to other apps and not so much Facebook. But we schedule out posts to roll out. And the best thing to do, honestly, that I like to do is on a Monday, once, you know, it's fresh in my mind of what happened to that a weekend or whatever, is to schedule the next 2 weeks out of posts and things that will happen. And it's a great, like, it's a such a satisfying feeling when I'm at home on a Friday just having dinner with my family and I get a notification that our church just published something really exciting mm-hmm. talking about the weekend, and I think like, oh yeah, good for me. I remembered to do that 5 days ago forgot about it, you know, but it came out and it created excitement and stuff. And, you know, people need to be reminded, they're being reminded all the time in their feeds of what they're shopping for, what they're looking at, all, you know, all this other stuff. And they should be reminded, hey, you know, church is coming on Sunday and, you know, we've got a plan and we're excited about it. If you don't have a plan and you're not excited about what's happening at your place, you know, this Sunday, why in the world is anybody else going to be, you know, excited and filled with anticipation about it? So that's, you know, it's not bad to manufacture that by scheduling it out. Because let's be honest, we all have lives. You're not going to remember every week to consistently post. But if you just have a time, you know, Monday for me, Monday at the morning when I come in, look at the weekend stuff. I sort of look ahead about what's coming and what I can start to promote out there on our Facebook groups and stuff.
Yeah, I like what you, I mean. Really, it just takes an hour a week, if that. And here's the thing about scheduling, especially when it comes to now, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, they're always, you know, adjusting algorithms and things. And it feels like just by the time you get something figured out, they change something. I get that. But the truth is your church doesn't have to feel, don't feel like you have to be posting something every hour. Especially if you're just getting started, there's a lot of, there's certain evidence out there, and again, it's hard to get this data nailed down just because of the ever-changing nature of social media content. But when it comes to the actual feed and what you're putting in Instagram and things like that, you don't necessarily have to post even every day. There's some evidence that suggests and data that suggests with certain algorithms that, hey, as long as you're posting, you know, 2 to 3 times a week, you actually can maintain an effective level of engagement with your followers. And so that's just something to keep in mind. It doesn't have to feel overwhelming, especially if you're just starting out. And if you say, well, hey, I want to spontaneously post, do that too. But just make sure that you schedule stuff. There's nothing wrong with having a hybrid of the two. Of, well, we're going to schedule half our content and we're going to be spontaneous as posting the other half. That's okay. And in fact, that's this many times a great way to approach it. Because, you know, with things like especially like an Instagram story, well, there, to my knowledge, there's really no way to schedule that at this time. That's something you do have to do spontaneously. And so if nothing else, you say, hey, I'm going to schedule my stuff in the feed and I'm going to be spontaneous with what I post in stories. Just a practical way to approach it there.
Yeah, and there's a lot of things. I think you could do a whole episode on this about ideas of what someone could schedule. But a lot of churches are very creative. We did for a while, and probably should do it again soon, like a volunteer of the week, you know, and highlighted someone every Tuesday. You know, this family volunteers, here's what they do. We're so thankful for them. People love seeing that kind of stuff. You know, just the classic Bible verse with a great picture behind it. That's a great one for someone just to wake up to on a Thursday for a little bit of encouragement as they're going in their week. And I think, again, you should always be highlighting, hey, you know, we're talking about this on Sunday, you know, or this is happening on Wednesday for our kids event. Maybe just reminding people, you know, about what you do all the time. And then, of course, there's that great post out there about, hey, we want to pray for you today. How can we pray for you? That solicits a lot of engagement from your community as well. So you can get a lot of really good ideas. You probably should write them down. Because again, if you're just posting on what, you know, a whim or whatever, you're going to be super inconsistent, super ineffective. So you really should just put down, here's 5 areas of 5 different types of posts, you know, that I'll put out in, you know, in a 2-week period or in a month or whatever. But yeah, from what I've read, posting 3 times a week starts to get you in front of people enough for there to be consistent and effective engagement. That's a Facebook statistic, but yeah.
Yes. No, I think there's a lot of truth to that. And a lot of times what's true about Facebook can be true about Instagram, since Instagram is owned by Facebook, and a lot of their algorithms kind of work in the same way to some extent. So that's good. So that's some thoughts on, like, as far as the digital aspect. I think a big thing is scheduling. I will say this. One of the big missed aspects of digital marketing that a lot of people overlook is email. Email sounds so boring compared to something cool and hip like Facebook or Instagram or social media in general. But email is very effective. In fact, email has been proven to be the most effective method of marketing, period, is email. Because when you're emailing people, you don't have to deal with algorithms. Now, yes, you have to do some things to try to avoid spam filters, but you're not dealing with algorithms. You're literally just sending something directly to people's inbox. And we've talked about that in previous episodes. I'm not going to take a ton of time to dive into that right now, but you can also schedule emails. Just like you can schedule social media, you can use certain tools to schedule emails as well. Well, as we move on past the actual the digital aspect, now is when we actually talk about creating awareness. And Jeremy, you alluded to this earlier. There actually can be more harm than good in beginning to create awareness too early. And so for you, and I know a lot of this is going to depend on the event, it's going to depend on the series, the campaign, whatever it may be, the nature of it there. But for you, what have you found is the most effective time frame to start really creating awareness and really promoting, you know, a certain, whether it be an event, a campaign, sermon series, whatever it is?
Okay, I want to break this down again into two different groups, okay? So when you say lead time on creating awareness, okay, two different things. If we're talking about just informing current attenders already, that requires a lot less lead time. If we're talking about informing current attenders with the intent that they will invite people who are not attenders, that obviously takes more lead time, okay? Yeah. So if you're just saying, hey, internally, here's what the next sermon series is, and we're going to start talking about this, I think that there's no way that you should be promoting that more than 3 weeks out. There's just, you're mostly informing internally, right? And hopefully you're putting it on social media. Maybe people that have been unfaithful to church, haven't been in a while, they'll see it and they'll think, man, I really should go to that. If we're talking about an event that you want other people to invite to, again, I really think it needs to be in the 4 to 5 week range. You know, people need some time to get those flyers and get up a little bit of courage and maybe hit their street or whatever else. And then, you know, allow people, if someone's never been to church, you're not going to tell them about a church service on Thursday and then them be there three days later on a Sunday. They, you know, probably require a little bit of planning for that. That's what I would say is 2 to 3 weeks. If it's internally promoted, you're just promoting knowledge on a subject. But 4 to 5 weeks, if you're trying to create an invitation opportunity for your church members to invite other people.
Yeah, and I think that's a generally good timeline as well, because I think obviously there's many cases where you wait too late. Obviously, if you're waiting until the week before to start talking about your your Easter Sunday, well, that's not probably best. But also, even though it is January, you know, if you start talking about Easter now, especially to you know, your community, who they're going to think Easter, you know what, that's way far away. I think there is that balance as far as what worked best. And something too that I found works is if you are currently in a series, you know, or you're already, you know, in some type of outreach campaign, is kind of, if you will, ride the coattails of that to begin to promote your next series or your next campaign or your next event or whatever. So, you know, if you are going to begin some type of Easter themed series, maybe in mid-March or something, like I said, the example, maybe you are doing some type of series based on relationships that you began on the Valentine's Day weekend or something in February, and that goes for 4 weeks or so. Well, as you're coming to the end of that, it's okay to start talking about, hey, by the way, our next thing is talking about Easter, and to get people interested. And so kind of just, again, you get people's interest for that 4 to 6 weeks in terms of a series or a concept, and then kind of say taking advantage of that to say, hey, now here's the next big thing for you to start thinking about. I've seen that seems to work pretty well. I think something that's important to note too is when you're talking about these upcoming events, series, campaigns, and you're, you know, in a maybe a worship service, you're promoting it. I've seen this. It seems so kind of, it seems so obvious, but I think it's something so missed. You're really seeking to cast a vision rather than just make an announcement. And I think that is so often missed, in that it's so easy if you're the guy who is responsible for talking about, you know, what's coming up. It's just to kind of read information and say, hey, well, we've got the next big thing coming up is this, and it's going to be here, and it's going to be on this date at this time. And I always think it's important to remember that people really care about, they really care about two things. They care about, they want to be inspired, and then they want to be told, they just really want to be told their next step. They don't want to be told all these different details. They just tell me what to do next. So, you, for example, you say, hey, we've got this really exciting Easter egg hunt planned for Easter weekend. It's going to be great. And really, what's your next step? Invite a friend. Maybe that's their next step for you know, a few weeks out. And then obviously, as you get two to three weeks before, well, now their next step is attend, be there, bring your kids, whatever it may be. And so remember, you're not just giving information. You're casting more of a vision and inspiring people, getting them excited there. And I know that you could see, you're going to see more effectiveness if you got to seem excited and then get people excited about it.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the things that you said earlier, I want to key in on is, when someone does come for a really big event, let's say it's an Easter or Christmas or whatever, the ability to stand up afterwards and say, hey, next Sunday, you know, we're doing this, or we're launching this sermon series, or this is what to expect next week. How many times have we all sat there and we had a lot of visitors come, right? We talked to them and their response was great. Loved the church, really friendly church, loved the sermon. It was so awesome. It's great. And you go away thinking like, great, they're going to come again. And then they don't at all, right? Mm-hmm. And so if you can offer the opportunity to say to someone who's on the fence, obviously they did like today, but they're on the fence about coming next week, or, you know, ultimately coming long term, to be able to stand up there and say, here's what our plan is for you for next week. Like, you're taking some of the question off of them. Like, of course you're going to come back next week, because here's what we have planned for you, and it's going to be great. And so casting that vision, I think, is really important.
Yeah. So we've got to, like I said, if you can show that you're excited about it, many times you will get other people excited about it. And by the way, just as a side note, this is more of a pet peeve. It doesn't take 10 minutes to talk about it. It should take 1 to 2 minutes to talk about it. And so anyways, I just had to throw that out there as well. Well, and then we come up to obviously the last phase, and that is the launch day. And this can seem like something where it's like, okay, great. All right, we had it. Now we're done. But it's very important not to forget that this is exciting. It's exciting to finally get to that launch day, that moment when you're, you know, the event begins or the series begins or whatever. But one of the greatest marketing failures is not continuing to promote throughout the campaign, even after it has begun. And so this especially happens with some type of, like I said, maybe a fall outreach campaign or an Easter outreach campaign. You make a big deal about maybe this outreach kickoff launch day or whatever, and then it's just kind of like, oh, okay, and that's it. And it's done. Or maybe, hey, we got a new sermon series and it's starting and everybody gets excited and that first week it's really great. Well, you still got 3, 4, 5 weeks left after that. And so you have to, one of the biggest things, and that's when it goes back to even setting up your digital campaign, don't just have your campaign end with the day that it launches. For example, if it is a 4 to 6 week series, your campaign needs to continue, and your digital, your social media posts and your emails and your promotional content needs to continue being pushed even after the series has begun. And I think that is something that's definitely missed many times. And even if it is a one-time event, like, for example, an Easter, well, you know, I so many times, and again, it's just the natural tendency of how, I guess, our minds work. But it's like, oh, we had Easter. It was awesome. We work really hard to make the big day happen. And then after that, it's just like crickets. It's dead. You know, you just kind of, you do deserve a break to some extent. I get that. But at the same time, what happens after, and, you know, the follow-up, process and things after that is so crucial. And if we let all of our, you know, if we just kind of take our foot off the gas and maybe even pump the brakes after the launch day, well, we're going to miss so many opportunities to reach people. Because I think one of the things that we forget about is, yeah, first time guests are great, but second time guests are even more important. And that's when you have to dig in and say, okay, we got these people to come for the big day. We got them to come for the launch day, for Easter, for the starting of the series. Now we need to get them to come back.
Absolutely. And I think that a lot of people do. I think one of the best phrases that I love about this, let's say talking about an Easter, so the week after Easter or the day after Easter, for example, and that is called just celebrating the win, right? And that's just going back and just saying what was good. Like, we prayed and we worked so hard for this day. And then to say nothing and to rejoice and to, you know, honestly, when you're celebrating, you're also, you're thanking people, you know, who volunteered, who invited, who came, who you know, took a step of faith for you, you know, for God, but because you asked them to, you know, go back and celebrate the win. Just tell them, you know, how many visitors came or some conversations you had with people or just, you know, exciting things that, that God did do. I think is important because obviously, look, you're going to have another big day in the future and you want people to understand there was a reward for all of that effort and here's how God tangibly blessed that. So yeah, don't just drop it. Celebrate what happened and the good things.
Absolutely. I mean, there's so much there. And I think a lot of this goes back to what we started talking about in the beginning, and that is changing your mindset from when you always make your mindset about, okay, just don't talk to me about anything other than what the next big thing is. I don't want to think about, you know, I don't want to think about anything beyond, you know, Easter. I don't want to think about anything beyond Christmas. I don't, you know, don't bother me, you know, thinking about these other things. I just want to think about that. Well, that just thinking about the one next big thing and that being all you think about, well, that also leads to the problem of when that one big thing is over, you forget about it and you're done. And like you said, you spend no time reflecting, being grateful, celebrating the wins. And honestly, just to be honest, what I've seen many times is because of that tendency, when you have that tendency, I should say, to only focus on the next big thing, it can be really easy to not feel like there were any wins because you feel like you worked so, so hard. And then, to be honest, you just wore out when you got to that actual event and you weren't really able to enjoy it. And then, therefore, it was hard to celebrate the wins and find the victories in that. So you've got to, like, I love what you said, take the time to celebrate the wins, thank people, be grateful, thank the Lord, thank God he helped you get through that day. Take the time to just, in that process, there's some relaxation there, but then there's also some planning of, okay, now what do we do in terms of how can, we had a big event, we had a big day, what can we do to get people to come back, to get people, keep people interested in returning and being that second, third time guest and regular attender.
Exactly. Very good. Well said.
Well, this really brings us to the end of our conversation here. I mean, we have covered a lot of content in this session here and over these, I guess at the time of releasing, over the past few weeks that you've been joining us. And Jeremy, I do appreciate your time, taking the time to co-host with me as we talk through this content. I think this is something that's really going to help church leaders in 2021. And again, it's been an 2020 was an interesting year. You know, the pandemic was an interesting thing to navigate, and I know it's not over yet. But now we can do our best though to plan ahead, to look ahead as best as possible, and learn. You know, like we said, we learn from our mistakes, but also we learn from just what the coronavirus and what the pandemic really caused us to realize about church and how we approach things. So, well, Jeremy, do you have any final thoughts, anything to share with us before we close things up?
Yeah, I would say, you know, through 2020, it was different, and a lot of us didn't do a lot of the normal activities and events that our church normally does and wanted to do. And so we can kind of get boxed into, you know, being a little more complacent about it. But as things start to open up, you know, as we talked about, you're planning 3 to 6 more months ahead. You need to get going here. And if you want some good summer events and some good late spring things to happen, you got to start planning and getting some marketing in and thinking ahead of that. And sometimes we can allow the previous year to maybe slow down our thought process and that, but we're gonna be opened up, you know, coming into this year at some point, or at least a little bit more. And so we got to really start to ramp up our efforts to be prepared and to be ready as those opportunities start to happen more and more often.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I do have to throw this in there. I mean, God forbid we go into some type of shutdown again, or the extreme happens. And I know that in some states that's happening, and that has been kind of ramping back up. But when you, for example, it's kind of like that, going back to the idea of, well, whenever you planned for that one big event and it rained, well, now that event can't happen. Well, I think that's where you find the advantage to planning for a series or campaign, because even if something happens to where you don't have that sense of loss when you, oh man, we had to cancel that event because we had to shut down. You can just be simple as, well, we have our sermon series and we're going to take it online. Join us online. You can still get, and yeah, sure. Is it optimum? Is it ideal? No, but it still works, and you could still get people interested and still get them engaging there. So, well, Jeremy, thanks again for joining us, and thank all of you for joining us here on Church Media HQ. And we look forward to Jeremy maybe having you back with us again sometime soon.
Thank you very much, Luke. Enjoyed the conversations we were able to have.
All right. Thanks again. Thanks again for joining us here at Church Media HQ. I hope you will take a moment to subscribe wherever you're watching or listening to this content. We're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, and many of the podcast platforms out there. So be sure to subscribe or follow us there. Also, you can subscribe to us on YouTube so that whenever we drop new content, you will be notified there. And if you like our video on Facebook or YouTube, it really helps the content to get seen by more church leaders like you. So I want to say thank you in advance for helping us in that way. Now, we have just concluded our series as we talk about planning ahead, but we are jumping into a new series next week around the topic of church online and live stream. And we're going to really jump into this idea of live stream is not a necessity. A lot of times people think that live stream is equivalent with having an effective church online platform. And that's not always the case. We're going to talk about that and more as we start next week's series about church online and live stream. Well, as you head into the rest of this week, I want to challenge you, as always, just try something new, because it's so much better to fail at trying something great than to succeed at doing the average. See you next time on Church Media HQ.